Good job. Thank you so much. Thank you to Jackie and to Eric and Christina and Levi and Ellie and Ben. You know, after hearing these stories, I think we can all feel it, that legacy of faith that's been planted in this place. The laughter of children, the prayers of teachers, and the generations now that have passed through our Weekday Learning Center. And it's all living proof that God's faithfulness endures. And what began as a ministry for a handful of families has now shaped a whole generation and even a second generation of children. And that's not just good programming. That's faith that lasts. And so we've been walking through Hebrews 11 these past few weeks, because that is exactly what it is about. It is the story of people whose faith endured long after they were gone. A couple of weeks ago, we started Hebrews 11, and we talked about Noah and Enoch, remembering that the faithful listen to God. And then last week, we looked at the story of Abraham and heard all about how the faithful move when God calls. Today, we will continue walking through chapter 11 of Hebrews, and we'll hear the stories of Joseph and Jacob, Moses and Rahab, and we will see that the faithful endure. Let us read from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 31. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God, not ashamed to be called their God, indeed he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told that through Isaac descendants shall be named for you. He considered the fact that God is able to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked blessings for the future on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his burial. By faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had received the spies in peace. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. You know, starting faith is exciting, and believing faith is inspiring, but enduring faith, that is the hard and holy work that holds everything together. Anyone can start a race, but it's the ones who keep running through the wind and the rain who cross the finish line. And that's what Hebrews 11, as it walks us through all of these stories of people of faith, is showing us, that long obedience of people who kept going. Now, verse 27 that we just read, it says that Moses persevered By faith, he left Egypt and afraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who is invisible. But it's different than any other use of perseverance that we read in the New Testament. Other translations use the word endurance. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And the word there, endured, this is the only place it appears in the New Testament. It's a rare word. The Greek is kartero, and it's used to describe moving ahead with courage. It's not a passive word. It means holding steady when everything around you is shaking. The writer uses it to describe Moses because his faith had muscle. Moses didn't endure life because it was easy. He endured because his eyes were fixed on what others couldn't see. He saw the invisible one. And the vision gave him strength to keep walking in the desert when the way was long and the people were weary. And that's the kind of endurance that this church knows. We've walked through lean budget years and kept believing that God would provide. We've weathered pastoral transitions and trusted that God was still writing the story. We've come through disaffiliation and are even stronger, not because it was easy, but because God was faithful. We've watched our weekday learning center grow and adjust through the years, shifting hours, expanding age groups, adding kindergarten. What began as a parent's day out has become and continues to be a full early childhood ministry and one of the best places to get an early childhood education in this community. Continuing to plant seeds of faith in new ways for new family, because through it all, we have kept our eyes on the same invisible one. That kartero faith, that endurance, that kind that keeps showing up, keeps praying, keeps giving, keeps believing that God's promise is bigger than the moment that we're in. That's how this church has lasted 40 years. Not by luck or by comfort, but by endurance. See, by the time we reach the end of this passage, by the time we read all of these stories of people in faith in Hebrews 11, the writer wants us to notice something really vital. He wants us to notice that every act of faith in Hebrews 11 has generational consequences. That it's not a sprint, it's a relay. Each of us carries the baton for a while and then passes it on to the next runner. And the strength of the race depends on the handoff. So when we teach, when we serve, or we pray, we're making sure that the next hand doesn't drop that baton of faith. And we see this generational impact in Hebrews 11. Abraham's faith shaped Isaac. When Abraham trusted God on that mountain, Isaac learned what obedience looked like. And that lesson lived on. Joseph's faith shaped a nation. And from a coffin in Egypt, he was still pointing Israel toward the promised land. Moses' faith shaped a whole people. And his courage taught this entire generation how to follow God out of bondage. Rahab's faith shaped the line of Jesus himself. We see how her story became part of redemption's genealogy. Their faith didn't die with them, it multiplied. Because enduring faith always leaves something behind. And we're living proof of that truth. There are people in heaven today whose prayers still have fingerprints on this church. Their giving, their teaching, it echoes through the laughter of children in the WLC and in the worship of this congregation and in every mission and ministry that bears fruit. We are the generation that stands on their shoulders, and so the question becomes, what kind of faith are we leaving for the ones who will come after us? And how are we writing that story? Part of how we write that story is through our giving. It's how our faith keeps echoing through this place. When we make one of those pledges, we're not just paying bills or keeping lights on. We're saying, I believe that this story still matters. We're committing to carry the baton a little farther down the track. It's a promise that the ministry that shaped us will still be here to shape those who come after. The people of Hebrews 11 gave themselves to a promise that they wouldn't live to see. And we do the same every time that we give. Have you ever thought about the prayer that's at the end of the children's moment each week? It's truly one of my favorite parts of worship. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Help us to remember. And then whatever the story is. It sounds simple, but it's really sacred. When I first started the job of children's ministry director, I remember I was so nervous. I mean, no one can follow Beth, right? She's amazing. And she's the best, still is. And as I prepared my first children's moment, I remember I was so nervous. And I thought a lot about that prayer. I was like, do I copy it? Do I like start my own thing? Like, what should I do? And I really wasn't sure. But in that first children's moment, when I said it was time to pray, a little girl made the decision. I said, dear God. And before my next breath, she said, thank you for today. And I was like, okay, here we go. We're keeping it. And I'm so, so grateful that I did. I'm so grateful for this little girl named Callie, the Holy Spirit that lived within her, and the fact that that prayer was so ingrained in her little soul. I asked Beth the other day about this prayer and where it had started, and she said that Stephanie Jacks, who some of you may remember, I don't know her, she prayed it. She began that prayer. And then Lindsay Yeager Hopkins, when she became the children's director and youth director, she kept it going. And then when Beth became director of the WLC, she started praying it in chapel every day. And then also on Sundays. And then I kept it going, and then Laura kept it going. And then now Carly and Amanda are keeping it going. And so it's over 25 years. Every day in chapel, every Sunday at the end of children's moment, we pray this prayer. An entire generation of children have been shaped by its simplicity and its truthfulness. And I'm guessing that whoever prayed it first didn't realize that they were writing liturgy, that they were shaping a faith that would live well beyond them. But how many times has that little prayer been whispered in this building? How many tiny voices have said thank you to God through this prayer? I wanted to pause and look a little closely at that prayer, that one that's been echoing through our church for 25 years. It's easy to think of it as something simple, just a few lines with simple words for little hearts, but it is so much more than that. That prayer is like catechism in a minute. It holds so much truth. It's the gospel. It's the life of faith. It is endurance, all wrapped in childlike words. And it's how we've been teaching our children year after year, not just what to say with God to God, but how to live before God. To live with gratitude, with trust, with Jesus at the center, and with memory that reaches back to God's faithfulness and forward to his promises. So I want to take a minute to kind of break it down, to see what we're really saying about the kind of faith that we're passing on. Dear God, thank you for today. That is faith that worships while waiting. Like the saints who saw the promises from afar, we give thanks for the outcome before it arrives. Gratitude becomes our daily act of trust, our way of saying, God, we know that you are already here with us in this moment. We know that you have given us this day, that because it is from you, that it will be good, and we are grateful for it. Gratitude trains the heart for endurance. And the smallest thank you can get us ready for the hardest days. Thank you for your love. This is a faith that obeys before understanding. When Abraham walked up that mountain, he didn't understand everything, but he trusted the heart of a loving God. His enduring faith rested on a love that doesn't depend on circumstances. And so I think of parents who keep praying for a child who has drifted. For volunteers who keep showing up to teach when there's only two kids there. That's love that obeys before it understands. Thank you for your love trains them to understand that we serve a loving God always. And thank you for Jesus. Faith that endures holds Jesus at the center. Everything in Hebrews 11 points to Jesus. They're stories from the Old Testament, but they point to Jesus, the one who finished what they began. It all talks about looking for that heavenly city, the city of the future, the city that was only established by the victory of Jesus. He is the reason our faith has substance. We say thank you for Jesus, and we say thank you for the one who endured the cross so that we could endure by grace. His faithfulness is the anchor of ours. And his victory is the proof that our endurance is never wasted. Help us to remember. Faith that endures passes the story on. Every act of remembrance builds a bridge between generations. So we are teaching the next generation, whatever comes after, help us to remember. Whatever the story of that day is, or whatever the point of the lesson is, help us to remember, teaches us to remember who God is and what he has done. That what we're doing here, passing faith along line by line, prayer by prayer, by doing that, we join the same story that Hebrews 11 tells. That story of faith that has always been a relay, not a solo run. Every generation carries the baton a little farther until the promises of God reach the next runner. So if you go back later today and you read through Hebrews 11, or if you just read through it in your imagination, you can hear the names being read like runners being called to the line. And the writer of Hebrews, as we call this the Hall of Fame of faith, they're not listing their successes. He is celebrating their endurance. They were ordinary people whose faith outlived them. We are ordinary people whose faith will outlive us. And that's the invitation today. To build ministries, to build relationships, and habits of prayer that will keep echoing long after we're gone. So when we pray with the children, dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Help us to remember. We are praying Hebrews 11 in real time. It's the sound of a promise that still unfolds. And someday another pastor will stand in this pulpit and they will tell stories about us. And I hope that what they'll say is not that we were busy, not that we were successful, but that we endured. So today, as part of our 40 years of faith, I want you to join in that prayer with me, all of our voices together. Do it like an echo prayer, just like the kids do. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for your love. And thank you for Jesus. Help us to remember, to trust that the God who was faithful then is faithful now. and faithful still to come. Amen.